Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Another special guest. You knew I was going to say that, but they are all special, and they get more special all the time. I've got a great gentleman on the line with us today, William Bill Taylor. He goes by Bill, and he is the founding editor of Fast Company. He's an author, a speaker, entrepreneur. The website for today's program, williamctaylor.com, and the gentleman himself. Welcome, Mr. Taylor. How are you?
I'm doing great. I feel very special.
You are special, and I've been looking forward to this, and I told Bill before we start the program, okay, there's a lot that you do and a lot you're going to talk about on our program today. I have to pinch myself to remind myself that I'm interviewing you for a radio program and not sitting back and listening to you for my own intellectual benefit. So you've got a book out. It's published in 2011, Practically Radical, but this is in a long line of things that you've done. So I'll give a couple snippets here, and then you can fill in a little bit more of the resume. You graduated from Princeton University and the MIT Sloan School of Management, editor of Harvard Business Review, co-founder of the magazine Fast Company, and there's a list that goes on and on. Currently write a blog for Harvard Business Review. You've co-authored 3 books on strategy, leadership, and innovation.
And again, the bottom line is I can't hold a job, but there you go.
Well, but you're innovative and not doing that. Okay. And the latest book is Practically Radical, and I'm looking forward to diving into it myself. So anything else in the background or fill in a little bit about what prompted you to write the book and the main thrust of what you're trying to get accomplished with the book?
Well, I think more than anything, the book Practically Radical aims to speak to where we are today, whether you're someone running a small company, you're an executive in the middle of a big company, you're just an individual trying to figure out what to do with your life. And, you know, to me, I look at the world, and what do I see? I see incredible competition everywhere. I see customers that are overwhelmed by the number of choices they have, the number of brands that are trying to get their attention. I see people who are at once kind of a little afraid, a little demoralized by all the turmoil in the world, and on the other hand, really intrigued and really excited about all the opportunities to do exciting stuff on the internet, to invent a different kind of job, all that kind of stuff. And so Practically Radical is like an instruction manual, if you will, to navigate through this incredible terrain. On the one hand, I enjoy what I think of as radical ideas, new points of view about what you can do with your company, new points of view about how you can think about your career. At the same time, it's fun to write about. I understand that people are really hungry for practical tips, tangible advice, small steps that over time lead to big change. And so hence the idea of being practically radical. Hey, you got to think about things a new way, whether it's, again, how to build your company or how to lead your own life. On the other hand, you can't get too crazy too quickly. And so it's all about what are the smart steps I can take as an entrepreneur, as an executive, as someone thinking about my own journey through life to make real progress. So I kind of think that's where we all are. We know there are big things cooking and big things afoot. And the idea is to help invent the future, but do it in a responsible, pragmatic, sober way.
Outstanding, Bill. I can't wait to read this. I'm going to dive in and take a hard look at it, because I find myself, you know, doing the work I do, and I'll be a little bit of your guinea pig today, doing financial planning work for people. I've had my own company for 16 years, and, you know, I very quickly will agree with you and for our listeners to tell them that there is a tremendous amount of competition in my field of financial services. And of course, the baby boomers are going to change all of that as they move into retirement. And there's a lot of interest in financial services as a business or as a for-profit opportunity for companies. But there's a lot of competition, and consumers seem to be just overwhelmed.
Well, you know, your field is actually a great laboratory for a lot. And I give a lot of lectures and speeches, you can imagine. I'm often asked to speak to financial advisors, financial services audiences, and it really, you know, not only in your cases, there's a lot of competition. There's a lot of perfectly competent competition. I'm sure there are a lot of bad financial advisors in the world, but the fact of the matter is there are a lot of really good ones too, and I'm sure when you're doing your work, you look out and say, hey, these folks are really reasonably good at what they do, and the challenge for you, but it's the challenge for everybody. Again, whether you're thinking about it from the point of view of the company you're running or just your own journey through life, it's how do I stand out from the crowd in a world that gets more crowded every year with people who are reasonably good at what they do. And so pure technical competence, as important as it is no longer in and of itself enough for success. It's not good enough anymore to be pretty good at everything you do, at everything that's part of your business. What everybody needs to figure out, whether you're part of a company or just thinking about yourself, is how do I become the most of something in my field? What do I offer that only I can offer? What do I promise that only I can promise? It doesn't have to be this, you know, cataclysmic game-changing thing. It could be little gestures, little signals, small ways of doing things in the financial services people that other people just don't do it that way, small ways of engaging with your clients that make you seem a little more human, a little more responsive, a little more engaged. But that hunt for what really makes you special in a world where there are more and more people that are pretty good at what they do is, I think, the challenge facing everyone.
Outstanding. Bill Taylor, ladies and gentlemen, you see why I had him on the program. Cutting right through the heart of it, williamctaylor.com is a website. The book is Practically Radical. We're going to take a quick break and we'll come right back.
What's your dream? Play golf every day of the week? Turn that hobby into a new career? With careful planning, you can make it happen. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your no-obligation consultation. At Holland Financial, we want to help you take the first step towards making your dreams a reality. That number again is 888-747-7526.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. If you're just joining us, boy, you got in just in the nick of time. Bill Taylor is on the line with us. He is a very knowledgeable guy about leadership, industry change, helping people stand out in the crowd of all this competition that we talked about. And Bill, I want to jump right in and ask you this question. What are some of the steps that, say, a business, whatever kind of business it is, can really start to move into that, you know, that uniqueness that you talked about before the break?
Like, you know, what I like to do is provide people with questions they can ask themselves about their company or their team or their business unit or whatever. And the first, I guess the first one I'd suggest is, every so often, don't get mired in the details of the whatever specific products or services or market categories you're building the business around, or all the pressures that are bearing down the business. Just step back and ask yourself, what are the ideas that define how you do business? And then most importantly, that distinguish you from how everybody else in their field, in your field does. Are there one or two or three insights, little gestures, little things that really and truly make you special? And if you can identify them, what can you do to kind of double down on those distinctions and make them even stronger? And by the way, if you can't, if you say, you know what, we kind of do business the same way everybody else in our field does business. Well, if that's true, why do you really think you're going to do any better? I mean,
well, if that's the case, well, and you know, I know you know the answer, but for the benefit of everyone listening, if that is the case, then what you're really talking about is a commoditized product, and then you have to become the most efficient provider of that service so you can be the cheapest.
And the challenge is there's always somebody who's willing to work, you know, to try to become even more efficient, drive the price down even more. And I think most people would rather use a little bit of creativity. Say, hey, how do I get off that endlessly accelerating treadmill and get into a different part of the market where those pure cost pressures aren't so great? Second thing, I mean, you know, a lot of people react to, oh, that's great. You know, you want me to have new ideas, take some risks, but, you know, I don't want to screw up. I don't want to make mistakes. To me, the other thing I urge people to do right away is get your head out of whatever industry you're in. And if you've got a problem, you've got an opportunity, you're trying to identify, you've got a problem you're trying to solve, ask yourself, who are some amazing, interesting, compelling companies in fields that are totally unrelated to mine? How have they already solved that problem, whether it's customer service or marketing, whatever? How have they already solved that problem? And what would it be like if I took their idea and migrated it back into my field? I mean, what happens is you get so bogged down in your field and you know so much that without intending it, you allow what you know to limit what you can imagine.
Oh, that's
and to
good.
Me, one way to imagine new things is to look in really cool companies in unrelated fields and say, what's my version of what they're doing? And that allows you to get some separation with the competition without doing anything that feels too crazy or too risky.
I like it, Bill. It makes sense. You're really speaking to you know, the need to see the forest and not the trees and step back from it. And, you know, as you were starting to set that up and thinking, okay, you're going to say, well, if you're going to get somebody to come in and kind of give you some fresh perspective, maybe it's somebody that, you know, was in, for me, like, for example, the financial planner, asking somebody in the building industry or somebody that's over in the medical field or somebody that's a, you know, somebody importing fur from overseas. I mean, something totally radically different that would be able to give fresh perspective. But that's the kind of thing we need to be looking at and look at those best practices, really. Is how are people delivering what they are offering, that value that they bring to the table that makes them so unique that people are willing to pay a little more or choose them over a lower cost competitor?
And, you know, it's a hard thing to do because I recognize we're all under so much pressure. The risks of, or the consequences of trying something that doesn't work are big. I don't want to minimize that. So there's almost a built-in bias against trying new things. And I guess, you know, what I'd urge people to do is you don't ever do a bet the company decision. You don't just try one thing that's so big that if it fails, it's all about little bets, small ideas, little wins. And all these little wins add up to ultimately to big changes. It's just getting comfortable with having a kind of experimental mindset and trying a bunch of things and maybe things that are that have already worked in other fields. So you don't feel like you're doing total blue sky innovation and saying, okay, how might that work over here? And just getting comfortable over time with the idea of changing the game in your field. And, you know, as I look at companies large and small that are kind of achieving a level of prosperity, which allows them to say, wow, I'm off that endless treadmill of having to cut costs and everything else. Basically, they've won big because one way or another, they've changed the game in their field. And that's really the goal. What can you do that changes the game in your business relative to the competition?
I'm writing all kinds of stuff down, Bill. good conversation. Bill Taylor, if you're just joining us, ladies and gentlemen, author, speaker, entrepreneur, and a really smart guy. And he's written the book Practically Radical. We're going to take another quick break and we'll be right back.
There are hundreds of annuities available in today's marketplace. How can you know if one is right for you? Certified financial planner David Holland answers this question and more in his educational booklet on annuities. To get your free copy, call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN. The annuity booklet provides a plain English explanation of the different types of annuities so you can decide if one is a good fit for your situation. Again, that number is 888-747-7526.
All right, if you're not taking notes like I am, you'll be able to listen to the course of this program on my website, the David Holland website, or Real Money Radio website, and go back and listen over and over. William Bill Taylor is our guest. WilliamCTaylor.com is a website, and the book is Practically Radical, and that's available on the website, and you can get more information there. So I like where you left it when we were just going to the break there, Bill. It's really boils down to how can you change the game? And it's a bit about being an agent of change, and not to be too corny or, you know, use fancy ways of saying this, but you want to be an agent of change, or you want to be the kind of the person that brings things a different perspective and kind of do it where you're in control as opposed to, you know, somebody moving your cheese.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I in this book, I write about a great banker out on the West Coast who runs an amazing bank called Umpqua Bank in Portland, Oregon. He's totally changed things in the last 15 years. His slogan is, find the revolution before it finds you, meaning unless you're in the business of inventing the future and creating the new wave of practices in your field, somebody else is going to do it for you and to you, and you're going to be in the rearview mirror desperately trying to catch up. And I want to be honest. It can feel like an uncomfortable way to go through life, and it's a lot more comforting in the short term to say we're just going to operate kind of in the middle of the road, because in theory that's where all the customers are. But in this day and age, with so much change, so much pressure, so many new ways to do just about everything, the middle of the road really has become the road to nowhere. You got to figure out what are we doing that really distinguishes us and that really resonates with our customers. And you know, I'm not interested in people being different for the sake of being different. Obviously, it's all about elevating your standing, becoming more compelling and urgent in the mind of your customers. And when you talk about this, you know, people immediately think about marketing budgets, or they think about internet and technology. I also think as much as technology is reshaping things, What people are also really hungry for today, and it, by the way, it's really true in financial services, mm-hmm. when you get everything on the internet, is a renewed sense of humanity.
Yep.
And a real, in this world that is being reshaped by technology, individuals or companies that behave in ways that recognize I am an individual human being who likes to do business in certain kinds of ways, likes to get my information in certain kinds of ways, and these small gestures and small signals, sometimes using technology, that make these human connections for people. So not all of this stuff is whiz-bang, new business models, new technologies. You know, I like to say really successful leaders or companies think differently from everybody else, that's fine. But they also really do, and it's going to, you just talk about being corny, they really do care more than everybody else. And we're at a place in the business culture today where even the smallest signals to your customers that, you know, I really care about you as a human being. Every time you encounter me, I am going to conduct myself in ways that are classy and polite and memorable and maybe even fun and engaging to do with. That gives you so much standing with your clients. And that doesn't take technology. That doesn't even take money. It just takes a real commitment to saying we are going to conduct ourselves in our business in ways that sort of reaffirm our kind of shared humanity. In this world of commoditized products and technologized services, we are going to revel in the people-to-people connection and make people feel good every time they encounter us. And believe me, that is in very short supply.
Well, and if you do that the right way, the technology, as you kind of alluded to, can be there to support or enhance that communication or that human engagement. But it almost like the technology fades to the background. You know, when somebody comes in to meet with me and I meet them for the first time, I sit down, I meet with them myself, and they're interested in our services. I talk to them. And now I have a PowerPoint screen up behind me if I want to go to it to introduce my staff or, you know, talk about something that they have a question about. But that's a resource. It's not, you know, where they come in and every single person I say, okay, hi, welcome. Let me put you through my PowerPoint presentation, you know?
Yeah, totally. And, you know, so now today everybody's, you know, wondering about social media. How do I use Twitter and all that kind of stuff? What I say to people is what you should do is to ask yourself, how do we conduct ourselves as a business or as a person where I do things that are so interesting or so nice that other people want to tweet about them themselves. What are the tweetable moments at your company? So you meet with a client and they go home and say, wow, what an amazing meeting I just had with my financial advisor. You can't believe the story he or she told me. And what are, again, these little gestures that people, when they encounter you, they want to share their story of their encounter with you. And so social media becomes a way to amplify your personality, your approach to the business. And you let other people kind of do the work for you. And so if your folks are listening, they're in a service business, they're running a small business, whatever the case may be, what are your tweetable moments? What are these little things you do on a Saturday morning or something that feels like, isn't that cool? I'm going to tweet about that. And, you know, these people become your digital word-of-mouth army, basically.
Very good. Bill Taylor, ladies and gentlemen. WilliamCTaylor.com is a website. The book is Practically Radical, and that it is. So stay right there. We're going to be right back.
Creating a world with less cancer takes a team effort. It takes survivors and caregivers and regular folks like you and me who all unite at Relay for Life. This year, nearly 4 million people nationwide will come together to celebrate, remember, and fight back. We're the American Cancer Society, the official sponsor of birthdays. Visit us at relayforlife.org.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen. Bill Taylor is our guest. WilliamCTaylor.com is a website. The book, Practically Radical. It's all good stuff, Bill. And you've already got me thinking about some of these things. And I know there's a lot that I do or how we do as a company that are unique. But it's a good reminder to always remember that it comes back to what resonates with the customer, what gets them excited, has them telling other people about their experience. No matter what the service or what the product is, if you have a value proposition or the thing that you do is so different, compelling value to the customer, they will be your mouthpiece, as you said, and it will get amplified on whatever technology or just good old-fashioned people talking to each other.
Yeah, and people enjoy doing that. I mean, people enjoy alerting their friends, neighbors, colleagues to companies they might want to do business with or companies that, in part because it's a nice thing to do, in part because it shows everybody else how smart they are that they've discovered this person before you have, kind of deal. And there's such a
I know it is.
You know? And so there is such a latent capacity to amplify what you do. Although I think ultimately the reason companies that are good at this do it is not for some, you know, ends versus, it's just because they understand that's the right way to do business. And so,
right.
I mean, I really, you know, you just talked about the value proposition, and I'm playing around with language. I think ultimately, and it is about all getting out of the pure economics of it, what people really have to discover today is their values proposition, a way of, as a company or as an individual, creating economic value that reflects and captures a set of human values that they admire and want to celebrate. And again, in this age of, you know, frenetic competition and technological dislocation and all that kind of stuff, I think in terms of the relationship between customers and the companies they do business with, in terms of the relationships within a company, a small company of 5 or 10 people, a big company of 500 people, the relationships among colleagues in a company, people really want to do business with or be part of organizations that feel like, you know what, the values and point of view of the organization is in sync with the values and point of view of me as an individual. That's how you get the best performance, the most productivity, the most commitment out of people. That's how you get the most engagement and loyalty in your customers. So in some sense, I think we're migrating from a world built around economic value propositions and into a world built around human values propositions.
It boils down to doing good that is recognized by others that allows you then to be able financially to do more good.
Yep.
It's really what it boils down to. It's not magic. Everybody is very aware of the whole profitability aspect of business, but it's that doing good in whatever the field is. Bill, we are out of time. I know it went quick. Bill Taylor, ladies and gentlemen, is our guest. WilliamCTaylor.com. Be sure to visit the website. Practically Radical is the book. Bill, we'll have to have you come back and talk another day.
Loads of fun. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland, and keep up with Scott Connor by following us on Twitter at Real Money Radio.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.